For those of you that are able to follow our sermon series in the last couple of weeks, both in person and online, we're now on the second to the last week of this series entitled The Power of Generosity. And this gospel story this morning is a parable. When we talk about parable, it's a story, right? It's an inspirational story. It's a symbolic story that actually the Bible explains to us. And this story was placed by Jesus himself as he neared the end of his life. So process that and think that for a second. Jesus knew that he's now ending his life on earth. He's now about to leave. And he's now sharing this story to his disciples and to the people. It sits among three other parables related to the coming or the advent of Christ. Somebody asked me before, Pastor, what does it mean when we said advent? It means coming of Christ. So that's why the hymn that we sang served like a prelude to the advent. We're already hearing some sounds of Christmas coming in on that middle hymn that we just sang. So this is sitting on that kind of context about Jesus telling the future judgment, the end of times, the readiness of the people of God when that time comes. And this sitting actually close to where the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins are. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats, and it's the parable of the talents or parable of the valuable coins. And we heard this story perhaps many times. How many of you have been familiar with the stories? Again, I have to warn each one of us, including myself, that there's always a tendency for us to say, I already know what the end of the story is. I already know what that means. And we miss really what is important and what should be important. Because each story here is told within the context of his second coming, the coming back of Jesus. It's sort of like he's telling the folks, are you ready when I come back? So I want to invite you to think that within that larger context of the coming back of Jesus as we dive in and understand more what God has to say for us today. Let us pray. I want to thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning out of the busyness of our lives. We pause to be reminded of listening to your word, filling our well, spending time, oh God, to digest what your word means to us as it becomes relevant even in today's time. Thank you, God, for this freedom of worship, and bless me, Father God, as I speak your word, and that I pray that I may be decreased and decreased so that you may be increased and increased. For this is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, the parable begins with the story of this man who is on a journey. And this man summoned his three servants, as we have learned from the text. And to the one he gave, how many again? Five. The next one, two. And the last one, one. And then he went away. Note here that the master left immediately, if you happen to see the text and notice that. He simply entrusted a vast sum of talents, which I will explain what that means, okay? A vast sum of talents to these three servants and let them do what they want to do. They were given a sense of freedom. The first thing that we have to notice here, church, is about the servants in the sixth parable is that they were recipients. They were given these talents, right? It came from whom? From the master. It was given to them. Actually, it was says to each according to his ability. So the master here was not obligated to give the servants anything. But because of his grace, he entrusted them. In fact, he really entrusted him so big to all these three servants. The implication of this is clear that none of us has any ground for boasting our talents. Can we hear amen, church? Because the talents are just given to us. We are recipients of those talents. Whatever talents you may have, perhaps your talents is singing, perhaps your talents is leading a group of people or serving. Whatever talents you have, they are given and it did not come from you. You are the recipient of those talents. It is true on what receiving the gospel says about this. In 1 Corinthians, it's what Apostle Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? If you then receive it, then why do you boast as if you have received it? Jesus includes in this important phrase in verse 15, He gave talents to each according to His ability. In English, this can be a bit confusing because talents and abilities can be synonymous. We kind of mesh them all together. But in Greek, the Greek meaning of the word talent here is translated as abilities or dunamis, which means power or capabilities. Capabilities, the strength. So when Jesus is getting here, what Jesus is getting here is that God graciously entrusts His servant certain skills and certain amount of power to employ them. God give them the abilities and certain capabilities so that they have the power to do that. So that's the first takeaway. We are given the talents. We are recipient of the talents. The second thing here that we notice, that in choosing talents as the metaphor for the abilities that God entrusts to us, Jesus actually makes it clear to us here that God values highly the gifts that He gives to us. The Greek word also of the word talent here can be also referred as the massive amount of money, as much as 15 years of a typical servant wages. If you're going to translate that in today's value, the first talent or the first 5 talents that was given to the first servant is actually valued, according to biblical scholars, to amount of $600,000 in today's money. Can you imagine that? $600,000 worth on each of the talents. Multiply that 5 times. So that's 3 million on the first servant. The second servant got $1.2 million in today's money. And the third servant got $600,000 in today's money. That's a huge sum of money, even if it's just comprehending right today. And perhaps the last one will kind of feel a little bit envied on the two other servants. But the reality is, no servants was insignificant. Each received something of great value, right? So God values highly the gifts that He gives to us, as He emphasized here in the parable. So the third lesson, perhaps, that we can learn here is that we must not undervalue what we have been given. Some are given more, some are given less. But all are given much. And Jesus tells us, everyone to whom much was given, much will be what? Much will be required. To whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. This is why the master, eventually, when he summoned all these 3 servants, and he appreciated the first 2 servants that had done their job. But how about the 3rd one? He was what? He was so upset. He was angry at the servant who did nothing with the talent that he was given. He simply what? Buried his vast sum of talents, and he was deemed wicked. Did you see that harsh word there? Wicked or evil. Okay, let's pause back a bit, and perhaps some of us will say, Jesus, you are so harsh on this. The master seems to be very harsh on someone who simply held what was given to him until the master came back. But I think we have to go much deeper than what we can see in the superficial text that we have just read. If we need to get in deeper so that we can understand where the gospel is trying to bring us up. See, the servant told the master upon return that he knows what the master was like. Did you notice that there? And that he did what he did, having been what? He was afraid. The servant here was afraid of something. The servant made assumption and held belief about the master, and he acted out of fear. And this may be, well, the key of the story. See, one of the fundamental desires of human beings is for us to make a difference, right? For us to make a difference for others, for us to make a difference in the world, to know that our lives matters. You know, going back to that service Sunday for Monday, if it's okay with you, Greg, I mean, I'm just amazed on the life of your mom, of how she made a big difference, how she impacted each of the lives in this room and the life of her church and this community. That's how fundamental it is that each of us wants to make a difference. We all want to influence something. But we cannot make a difference. We cannot influence anything outside of ourselves if we keep everything to ourselves. We cannot make a difference if we live our lives in fear and in isolation from the world and the community around us. The key here is to release that through the generosity that comes from God through us. Generosity is the key to make a difference. It is the very definition of what it means to live consistently with the values of the God in whom we believe and the work of Christ in which we are engaged. The question for us today, church, what are you doing with what you have been given? The master came back, and Jesus says that there will be a time that he will ask that question for you and me. What are you doing with what you have been given? As I reflect on this message in this parable, I can't help but to remember there are times in my life that I made a lot of excuses about not giving up, not sharing what I have, whether my abilities, my time, my possessions, my gifts to God's church. I made sort of kind of excuses. Oh, I don't think that's for me. That's for those who are paid staff. I don't think I can be able to commit on Sunday. I have a lot of things to do. I have so many priorities in life right now. Oh, Pastor, I really thank you for inviting me to this, but there are other people who are much deserving and much more qualified to do the work. Have we been there, church? So kind of we fall into the trap of being that third servant who tried to bury his talent until the master come back. What are you doing with what you have been given? Well, Jesus here is giving us a choice. You can use what you have been given to make a difference, or you can hold on to that out of fear of losing it. Are you using it for the benefit of the community, the church, and the world? Or are you holding it, bearing it, so to speak, and therefore never getting to see the kind of difference that it would make? Friends, God wants us to practice generosity that creates influence. To use what we've been given for the sake of others. These gifts that God has given to us, they are just entrusted to us. It's meant to be released. It is meant to be used. And when we do this, We get to see our true potential to make a difference and to know that our life matters beyond ourselves. And more than that, when we engage in the biblical generosity that God wants us to embrace in life, something significant happens. Amen? Something significant happens. You are creating a ripple effect. Whatever forms of generosity, whether the flood buckets, whether serving in the Seth Vance Elementary School, or participating in the gathering, or the journey, or any other ministries, something significant happens because generosity creates influence. As we close this message, the Lord reminds us that God had given us talents. And God values very highly the God that gave to us these talents. Question again, what are you doing with them? Let this question be a challenge for us today and for every servant who is faithful with the talents entrusted to him. Listen again to what the master will say. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter now into the joy of your master. Let us pray. Forgive us, Father God, but because there are times when we hold back, when we have shut the door and buried things that would have been an opportunity for us to create influence, to impact the lives of others, to make a difference, and to create something significant. May we not be that like a servant who hoarded and withhold and buried his talent. May we learn from this parable of the talents, O God, to practice a kind of generosity that creates influence, a generosity that will create a ripple effect that makes a difference, not just in the lives of our community, but so in the lives of the whole world. So that when time comes, the master will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter now into the joy of your master. Amen.